Okay, we are in our class, in our Bible class. We've been talking about evangelism, sharing the gospel with other folks and all. And specifically, we've been trying to equip everyone with the tools necessary to share the gospel. Remember back at the beginning of the year, we started our CERT training program that we took from the CERT program that the communities use, Community Emergency Response Team. And so we kind of took that and made it Christian Emergency Response Team. And the idea is recognizing, first of all, that those who are lost, they have not accepted Christ, that's an emergency, okay? Their eternal life is in jeopardy. And so part of this is getting us to recognize and understand the emergency nature of that, that we take it more seriously, that people that are lost, they're going to die if we don't do something and do what we can to save their soul. So all of the different lessons that Dale and I have been doing throughout this time have been focused on training us in different ways for sharing the gospel and thus being able to save someone's soul. So that's what we've been focusing on this morning in conjunction with our Family and Friends Day. We're going to focus on what is referred to as friendship evangelism. Okay, so I want to share some different ideas about the importance and the ability that we have of sharing the gospel with people that we know that then can give us the confidence to be able to share it even with people we don't know. All right? So part of this is the idea that we got to start somewhere. All right? But we'll talk in a little bit more detail about all of that. Here's a couple of thoughts, and I don't know if those of you in the back can read that or not, but it says, throughout history, Christians have used many different approaches to spread Christianity via the practice of evangelism. One such method is personal evangelism. Personal evangelism is all about sharing the gospel message of salvation on one-to-one basis to someone who has not made a personal commitment to follow Jesus Christ. So, question for you. It's talking about personal evangelism. What's the difference between personal evangelism and just plain old evangelism? Anybody have any idea? One-on-one is where evangelism generally is thought of and looked upon as the idea that it's what I do, okay? The preacher gets up in front of a group of folks and preaches, and we share the gospel with people and in the audience kind of a way. Personal evangelism is more taking one person, getting with somebody else, and studying the Bible with them, right? With the intention of helping that person to accept the gospel and to be saved. So the key word there is personal. All right? Another way to look at it is general evangelism would be kind of like the audience, okay? And it's just, you know, everybody that's there, the personal part is one-on-one. Now, there are a lot of different ways to do personal evangelism. We've done a lot of different things in the past, and one of those things is referred to as door-knocking campaigns. How many of y'all have been involved in those? Okay, where we basically do what's referred to as cold contacts. You just kind of go out through a neighborhood, you knock on people's doors, and ask them if Jesus lives in their house or some other way to get in or what have you, and try to set up personal Bible studies with someone, be able to sit down with them, open the Bible, and share it with them. That has been a method that's been used for decades in the church. It is still used by some religious groups. It's not used very much in the churches of Christ anymore. We've kind of gotten away from that, right? Mormons are still very good at personal evangelism, or rather in the door-knocking campaign kind of a thing. The Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists all go out, knock on people's doors, and you know, some of you probably have had them come to your door and want to study and so forth. And that's really what that aspect of it is about. Right? Go cold, knock on somebody's door, and introduce yourself and try to set up a Bible study with folks. All right. This particular aspect of evangelism, personal evangelism, and specifically friendship evangelism, it's basically making friends for God is a refreshing and concise approach to personal evangelism. It can be termed as friendship evangelism. It's a practical way of building effective relationships through which the gospel can be shared. It upholds the importance of the gospel message while at the same time respecting the humanness of the people we are trying to reach for Christ. So we're moving, in a sense, from the idea of talking to, you know, knocking on someone's door and seeing if we can set up a Bible study, to the idea of focusing on people that we already know. Okay? The idea of evangelism, where does it come from to begin with? Where? Okay, all right. We're going to focus on two scriptures mainly this morning, and the first one is Acts chapter 1, okay, in verse 8. Now, Jesus is getting ready to leave this world, this physical earth, and return to the Father, and he gives his disciples some instructions, and he tells them to wait in the city until they receive the gift that the Father has promised to give them, that gift being the Holy Spirit, right? And then he tells them this: you will receive power, right, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, right? You will be my witnesses. When somebody is a witness, what are they doing? What does a witness do? Okay, they testify, don't they? And in this case, what are they testifying about? Jesus. He says, you will be my witnesses. So when somebody is a witness in court, for instance, what are they telling? What are they doing on the witness stand, for instance? But what are they giving the account of? Okay, what they know, what they've experienced, what they saw, okay, what they witnessed, right? So Jesus is telling his disciples that that's what we are to be. We're to be his witnesses, to testify as to what we know, what we've seen, what our experience has been. Right? So that's the first part, is that he calls upon us to be his witnesses. The second part of this is where we are to witness. Right? And he says, first of all, in Jerusalem. Secondly, he says, in Judea and Samaria. And then third, he says, and to how far? To all the ends of the earth. So we are to be witnesses, and I tend to look at this in a sense as three phases, if you will, is really kind of how we've been looking at it in this study as we've been talking about our training and so forth. In Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So we've been talking about, then, in other words, the first phase of all this has been what? My Jerusalem. And this is where I want to spend a little bit of time. My Jerusalem, and we've been using that terminology for quite a while now, right? Refers to the people that are in my circle of family, friends, people that I no. Right? Okay. So the idea here is the church started, first of all, where? Where were the first witnesses? In Jerusalem, okay? The church started in Jerusalem. The first sermon of the church was preached in Jerusalem. The disciples started from there. They started sharing the gospel, and we saw the church begin to grow in Jerusalem. Okay? What we're trying to do is to look at this idea, and we put it with, basically, it is friendship evangelism, that all of us have people that we know who are not saved. The people in our family, we have neighbors, we have coworkers, people that we already know that we can share the gospel with. We were talking just a few minutes ago about the idea of cold campaigning, just going out and knocking on strangers' doors and trying to share the gospel with them and so forth. Why don't we do that anymore in the church? Anybody have any idea? Okay, we got lazy. That's one good, honest answer. Yeah, we've gotten lazy.
Don't want to get shot.
Don't want to get shot. Which today is even more possible than it has been in the past. But a lot of that, though, is that, you know, you go knocking on people's doors, and as time has gone on, people have gotten more and more unfriendly to solicitors and people knocking on doors, on their doors and bothering them and so forth. And there's been times where folks have been treated pretty rudely and threatened and all of those kinds of things. So a lot of folks just kind of, let's not do that anymore. It has become an unpopular way to try to go around and share the gospel with folks. Okay?
Well, did anybody ever come up with any statistic about how successful that was?
I don't know of any, Bobby. I don't know of any statistic, any research has been done on it. I can just tell you personally, I've done a lot of door knocking on, you know, and so forth, but I haven't had a whole lot of success with it personally. In terms of going to strangers and knocking on doors and trying to set up a Bible study, I've not had a lot of success with that at all. Karen? You care. That's right.
And so it's been a personal conviction of mine that I want to love people so much that it provokes them to go, what is it about you that's
mm-hmm.
different?
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, there's a lot of Christians that aren't different. And if you're not different, why bother?
Yeah.
Why? What's the point? Like, what has Christ done for you that makes me want to do what you do? You know? And so if we're not, if our main goal is not to be people of love, miss the boat. You know, it doesn't matter how much doctrine we know and how much
right.
wonderful things we know and how beautiful our church is. If we don't love them and invest time, that's the key. People don't have the time.
Right.
We're so busy. And
mm-hmm.
I have taken it on as a personal conviction. If I share the gospel with someone and they get saved, I will disciple them. And that's the problem is we want to check off the box that we've led someone to the Lord, but then what?
Yeah.
You know, is it your job to disciple them?
Yeah, and that kind of, when we look at that different approach to it, the issue of discipling people, that's where I think we have had it kind of break down the success of door-knocking campaigns. They used to be the staple of Churches of Christ,
mm-hmm.
okay? But one of the problems that I've seen happen is, and as you mentioned, what we don't do very well is follow-up. We did really, really great at going to people, and they'd say, yeah, let's come in, let's study. And we studied with someone, and there was, you know, the five steps of salvation that people were trained to teach and, you know, and all those kind of things. And we take them through all these steps, and they go, oh, yeah, that's what I need to do. I need to get baptized. And we, you know, so we get them baptized, and what do? We check off, we got another one. You see, we added another one to the Lord, to the church, and a few weeks later, where are they? Because we haven't really done a very good job at following up with those folks and helping those infants in Christ to grow. Okay? We've just kind of gone, okay, got another one, let me move on and find somebody else. And so then we had a lot of folks that were brought to the Lord, quote unquote, and saved, that then fell away because there was nothing done afterwards. Friendship evangelism, hold on just a second, Charlotte. Friendship evangelism does the discipling on the front end. And I think that's why it works so well. Okay? It what it does is it establishes relationships with people. You know, in that whole process of sharing the gospel with them, I'm already building a relationship, and that's where the door knocking, cold campaigning kind of falls apart. We don't establish relationships with people. We just get them saved, bring them into the church, and then they're kind of going, okay, now what? See? So what we're really looking at is the idea of building relationships with someone, because bottom line is, if we don't build relationships with folks, then what's to keep them here? See? We need to help them to build and establish a relationship first with Christ, but also with other Christians. All right, Charlotte?
Church anywhere. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chuck, do you have a comment?
Well, the follow-up on the raising of a Christian, if you will, is of course the church. Mm-hmm. As the saying goes, you can't do it by yourself. If you're fortunate enough to have someone take Christ on, then the church is that place where they go so they can get
busy. We can't be too busy for God's work.
Right.
We have to put away some of this worldly stuff that we
think we have to be in, think that we have to do. That's our problem. We always think we got to be doing all this other stuff, and you're not busy with God's work.
Right.
How many people are actually sitting at home, don't have a job, not really doing anything? Do you ever pick up your phone?
Right.
Do you ever, I mean, all this technology that we have, do you ever send one of your sisters or brother a message? Are you doing that?
Yeah.
Are you doing that? Are you meeting someone or someone in another congregation that might need that that extra boost?
Right.
You know, because I'm finding myself doing this more. I'm finding myself trying to send a message. That person pop in my mind, and that number in my phone, boop, there I am.
Okay.
There I am.
And that's a good point. Is that once you have the relationship, of course, granted, I understand it takes time to develop that relationship with God so that you get to the point where the Holy Spirit within you says, hey, send this person a text or a message. And it's somebody that you haven't considered in a while, if you will. But the Holy Spirit said, hey, call, send a letter, do something.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You know, we used to do, as I said before, we used to do the cold, you know, canvassing and so forth, but, you know, all kinds of excuses have come about, and we looked at it and said, well, is it really effective? And the biggest thing is the fear, you know, people are afraid to go and knock on somebody's door, they don't know how they're going to be treated and so forth, which isn't a great excuse to begin with, but those are all the kind of excuses that we use for not doing it. Well, watch your toes now, okay? Because when we talk about friendship evangelism and my Jerusalem, okay, we're taking away all of those excuses.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because here we're talking about folks that we know. We're not, these aren't strangers to us, right? These are not people that we are not already connected to in one way or another. Okay? You know, so it's our family, it's our neighbors, it's our friends, it's now with some of these folks, we may know them well enough to kind of like, I'm going to try to share the gospel with them because I know what they're going to do. I know how they're going to respond. Okay. We need to be able to look at everybody as a potential Saul of Tarsus. Do we not? But the point here in this is that, you know, we take away all those other aspects and say, look, we're not starting out cold with someone we've never met before and hoping that they might say yes. These are folks that are already in our Jerusalem, people we already interact with, that we already have a relationship of some type with. Okay? So, let's talk about this. Friendship evangelism really works in two different ways. Right? First of all, it's the idea that did that come up there? Okay. First is that we start with those that are in our Jerusalem, people that we already know, as we've been saying, okay? And then from there, we make new friends. And we share the gospel with them. And this is basically, as I look at it, it's the Judea and Samaria part. And as you recall back a couple of, back about a month or two ago, we were talking about, all right, it's time for us to shift from, you know, Jerusalem to Judea, where we're trying to reach out a little bit further, as Jesus told his disciples to do. Now, this idea is that It's new friends, or it's people that maybe we don't know quite as well. We may be acquainted with them. We may have a contact through somebody else, what have you. But what we're doing is we're kind of challenging ourselves to go a little bit further. Okay? So it's Jerusalem, that is the people that I already have relationships with. It's Judea and Samaria. It's new opportunities to, as I'm meeting new people, as I have contacts and all of those kind of things. But here's the thing we've got to keep in mind. This does not relieve us of the responsibility of sharing the gospel even with complete strangers. Okay? And I would suggest to you that that would be, in the context of what we're looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 8 in, that would be the part that says to the ends of the earth. Okay? Again, the church started in Jerusalem, and it was amongst the Jews. These were the people, these were family, friends, contacts. These were the people that the disciples knew. And then they spread out a little bit to the surrounding countrysides and so forth. But the gospel went out throughout all of the known world at that time. And that's part of that Great Commission. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. That's part of that Great Commission that Jesus sent us out to do. So one thing I want to make sure that you're not hearing me say is that friendship evangelism it leaves us of the responsibility of sharing the gospel with people we don't know. I'm not saying that at all. Okay? We need to share the gospel with everybody that we have opportunity to. The idea of friendship evangelism is we need to start somewhere. Okay? And we've all got folks that we know that are not in the Lord. They're not saved. And so we need to start there and go and start branching out from that particular spot. Now, here's something to think about. Friendship with an unchurched person is not evangelism. Okay? Agree or disagree with that statement? I see some of you going like this. Some of you have puzzled looks on your face. Okay? Chuck? Well, the idea here is that people will just say, well, I'm friends with a lot of people. They're not, they don't ever get to the point of trying to share the gospel with folks. They're just friends with them. You see, kind of hoping that it maybe that some of what I got might rub off on them a little bit. You see, but they're not really sharing the gospel with them. They're just being friends with them. Nothing wrong with being friends with unchurched people, okay? But just don't count that as evangelism. Say, well, I'm friends with a lot of people that aren't Christians. Okay? Well, that's great. Be friends with as many non-Christians as you can, but start sharing the gospel with them. Okay? Start trying to open the door a little bit. All right? It does, as it says here, the second statement, it does open many doors for evangelism. Okay? But what do we need to do? We got to go through that door, don't we? The fact that you make a new contact, you have a new friend, somebody that you start spending time with or what have you, that you reach out to, you spend time doing whatever it is that you do with that person, well, that's a door that is open to you. What you do from there is going to determine whether you're trying to be evangelistic or whether you're just content just to have friends, not share the Lord with them. You can stand on one side of the door with it open and never go through it. Or you can attempt to go through that door. Now, realizing that that person that you've become friends with and you're doing whatever it is that you're doing as friends and so forth, you try to share the gospel with them, what might they do? Okay. They might slam the door in your face, right? Okay. Well, all right. Move on to the next door. Okay. But at least you made an attempt to share the gospel with that person. In other words, what I'm saying is, don't just stand on the other side of the open door and never attempt to go through it. Why is that door open to you to begin with? It's open because the Lord opened it. He put that person in your life for a reason. Okay? Open that door. We need to be able to go through that door. At least try. Okay? One of the best ways to make friendship evangelism happen is to tell your story to folks. We've talked about that a lot of different times, different aspects of it. One of the reasons, excuses again, that oftentimes people use is not sharing the gospel with people. Well, I don't know the Bible well enough, and maybe they'll ask me something I don't know the answer to, and I'll look foolish or whatever. Well, you know what I say about that, right? My first response to that is, if you don't know the Bible well enough, whose fault is that? It's yours because you're not studying it, okay? So I take that excuse away from you, all right? But in the meantime, you know, we all need to be studying the Bible. We need to be learning, as we talk about all the time here, right? But in the meantime, does that mean that we have to wait until we know enough Bible, okay, so that we can go and share the gospel with people? My question there is, how much is enough? How much is enough Bible that you know that you can go out and share with people? All right? Tell your story. Chuck, has
hand up. They did stop their process from evangelizing.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. You know, they didn't have what the Bible understands. Yeah.
But what did they have?
They had the Savior. They had the Lord.
They had a story, didn't they? And that's what we have. We have stories, don't we? Chuck?
I was just thinking the woman at the well when she went back to town.
Yeah.
That was evangelist.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. She brought the whole town back with her, didn't she? And what did she do?
She
told her story.
She humbled herself, didn't she?
Yeah. Wes?
No, Russ, that is also another way of opening the door. Looking forward to the situation where because then it gives you a chance to go get the answer and bring it back to them.
Okay.
And take them to where they can get the answer from.
Absolutely.
But as long as you know where to go to get the answer, which is the Bible, you never would doubt.
That's right.
An answer.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't be afraid, as we've said many times before, don't be afraid to tell somebody, I don't know, but I'll find out for you, right?
Well, I became a Christian. Thing is, a lot of it,
you're exactly right, and we share all kinds of stuff that goes on in our lives that we're excited about all the time with other people, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why don't we share Jesus?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay? All right? I'm just saying. We can share something exciting happens to us, and we'll put that on Facebook, and we're letting the whole world know about it, right? Why don't we get excited and tell people about Jesus, what he's doing in our lives? Tell your story. Right? When you tell your story, one thing you don't have to worry about is them asking you a question you don't know the answer to, right? Because it's your story. All right? It's your story. So share your story with people. Right? And here's one thing that might happen. As you share your story with people, you might find out that your story isn't far from their story. What I mean by that is that we begin to find out, the more time you spend with people, you begin to find out that, you know, we're really not that different after all, are we? You know, in terms of life experiences and things that happen to us, you know, in counseling, I talk to people all the time. People come in and they've got this going on and they think they're the only ones in the world that have ever experienced that problem. And then I take out forms that I use, okay? Or I have, you know, illustrations that I use, and it's like, why do you think I have these? Because everybody struggles with these same kinds of problems. I print these up like Doritos, okay? Because everybody has these same kinds of issues and problems and struggles and so forth. When we can share our story with people and they can relate to a lot of that, it helps them to see what Jesus really can do in their life to make a difference. He's done it, yeah. I tell them what he's done in my life and they go, okay, yeah. I'm struggling with the same stuff. Maybe he can do that for me. So share your story. Tell your story with other people. Start with the people that you know. Now, before we run out of time here, what's the problem with friendship evangelism? A lot of folks in church circles and so forth that badmouth friendship evangelism. What are some of the problems that we can see, potential problems with friendship evangelism? We talked about a lot of the good aspects of it. But here's a quote that I ran into that kind of lets that attitude be known. It says, "Friendship evangelism is a cloak used by some who are too frightened to open their mouths about the exclusivity of Christ." People are afraid to talk about Jesus, okay? Even to their friends. Especially when it comes to talking about that Jesus is the only way. Wes?
I think one of the biggest problems is the fear of the rejection that they might get. And from that, just be rejected because they are a believer or a follower of Christ, they're going to lose the friendship with them.
Exactly.
And they have to be willing to lose the friendship if that's what it comes to. Because if that's what it comes to, then they really wasn't your friend.
Wasn't your friend anyway, right. Yeah, I think that's one of the greatest barriers is that we're afraid we're going to lose our friends. Some of our family won't talk to us anymore. We might lose our job if we talk to people at work. And that, by the way, is a all of those are real realities, aren't they? Okay. But remember what Jesus used as his calling card. Okay. What did Jesus use to attract followers?
Cross.
If you want to be my disciple, what do you have to do? Deny yourself, take up your cross, how often? Daily, he says, and follow me. And we've talked about this time and time again. What's that symbol mean? What does it represent? Death. Cross was only used for one thing, and one thing only. It was built to die on, okay? And if we're not willing to take up our cross and we're not willing to lose some friends or family members stop talking to us or even to lose a job, how much are we really willing to sacrifice for the Lord? See? Bobby?
That'd be the case. Have you really lost anything anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. If you lose those folks, then what'd you really have? See? And
I tell people all the time, they say, "You believe in that mess?" I said, "Well, I'm scared not to believe in it." Okay. To die thinking there's a heaven, find out there isn't, and to die thinking there is one, and find out there isn't.
There is, yeah, and not even get there, yeah. Okay, real quickly, mentioned to you earlier, here's the thing that we've got to understand, the Great Commission. Jesus called upon just the preachers and the elders and the deacons to go throughout the world and preach, right? No. It's for our whole disciples. All right? And we are to do what? He says, go to where?
All the world.
All the world, okay? And do what? Make disciples. And how do we do that? Okay? Sharing the gospel message with them, right? He says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, right? So that's a job that all of us are to do. And here's the, you know, one of the things. If we're only willing to share the gospel with our friends, then we end up excluding those who are not in our Jerusalem or in Judea. And God does not want us excluding anyone. Okay?
Russ, that's why we have to be careful about just befriending people in the church and
right.
being in these little circles that some people can be in church.
Right.
Because you're right there in that circle.
Yeah.
You know what? You're not going any further, but right there where you
yeah.
are. We have to be careful.
We've got to be careful that we go further. Chuck, finish this up here.
This is a battle between love and fear. We have the gospel, which is pure love.
Mm-hmm.
And but we're fearful to share it. And we have to fight back that fear. But because we think we're inadequate, we don't know enough, we don't have the words. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us.
Right.
His Spirit is in us. His Spirit will tell us what to say. You just got to have a stronger faith.
Right.
I'm talking to myself.
Well, here's the thing.
But it's love and fear.
If
perfect love drives out.
Yeah. If you're afraid to share the gospel with people you don't know, right, then what's your excuse for not sharing it with people you do? And bottom line is this, the more you share it, even with people that you know, the more comfortable you get, the more experience you get in sharing the gospel with people that you do know, that then helps build your confidence and all in your ability to share with people that you don't know. But we need to make sure that we stop relying on ourselves, because there's the biggest problem. We look at what we're able to do or not able to do, what we know, what we don't know. We need to start relying more on God's Spirit that He has placed within us and trust in Him to give us what He wants us to have to be able to do that. All right? But it starts, I think the best place to start is with our friends, our family, people that we know.
Amen.
All right? Okay, we are out of time. Thank you all very much for your thoughts and comments.
Thank you.
We'll...